So I was remembering a time when I was first in a situation where I got to meet somebody that I was absolutely idolizing at the time, and this was the 90s. And I remember I'd find out I just had more half brother and sisters from my dad's side, and it was like, Jesus Christ, we've been grown as three sisters, including me, I'm the middle kid, to then extend to over 9 of us. And it was like, what? Where did these brother and sisters come from? So anyway, to cut a long story short, it was my dad's mission to make us kind of all get along and do things together. We naturally got on, I'm not gonna lie. It wasn't like an instant beef with us. We were cool. Anyway, I had one of my sisters. She was like a year and a bit older than me. There was like months difference of us being the same age. And we got into a huge fight. A huge, huge fight over, I don't even know what it was over. Like, I had another cousin down from Birmingham who was with my eldest sister, and they were going to the carnival. And the only way I was allowed to go is if I went with my other sister, my half-sister. And I was like, why can't we all go together? But my oldest sister was 5 years older, so they were going to do their thing. And my dad saw fit that we should stick together, us two being a similar age. I don't know what we was arguing over. We ended up getting into a huge, huge fight. Like, oh my God, on my bed. I remember like MMA fighting this girl. And my dad having to tear us apart. And we was in our carnival clothes. And he was like, that's it. You will not be going to carnival unless you go together. Because I was happy to go on my ones. I was like fearless like that. I didn't give a damn. Because the rumour was there was going to be all these superstars there. And it would have been kind of like my first year going without my friends. So I felt somewhat slighted. So anyway, after this fight, it was a lot of like heavy breathing, like, I hate you sort of thing. And it was just like, damn, now I'm not gonna be able to go to carnival. And he was like, you can go to carnival. You're just gonna go together. And it was like, how do you go to such a happy event when the two of you are so pissed at each other? Like, we are looking at each other like gorillas. We're gonna tear each other apart. I'm like, to my dad, like, are you crazy? I can't stand this chick. And he was like, no, and he's Jamaican, so he was always very strong with his thoughts. He said, no, man, yeah, I forgot to get out and love each other. I'm gonna cure, you know, otherwise you're gonna sit on in the yard. And that was his word, and that meant it was final. So basically, me and Earth just literally sucked salt and just gone, oh, well, we're just gonna have to go, with me. Don't mean we have to talk to each other. But have it be known, we've gone all the way up to carnival, and because I lived quite far out in Kent, Bexley, the journey's long to get to the elaborate growth. You're gonna end up talking when it's just the pair of you and everyone's blowing whistles and got their heritage flags out, and you know, you just wanna feel a part of it. So we ended up just squashing it and going, ah, just get on with it. And anyway, so we're going around carnival little by little, and there's something, I wanted to go to the toilet. Or was it she wanted to go to the toilet? One of us wanted to go to the toilet, right? And we just end up going, it was raining. It was so wet and muddy. And I had this white dress on from Miss Selfridges. And it was my big sister's, one of her favourite dresses. And because of the fight, she'd let me wear it. So I was being ever so careful. The dress was bad. I thought I was like Jeanne, the singer's. And, you know, and I had this baby blue jacket on. I thought I was bad. I felt like I was a part of like proper hip-hop culture sort of thing, even though I was only like 14 years old. You know, I really felt like I was embodied in this music. So we've gone down this alley. It's all muddy. I've even got white paint and shoes on. Like, God, I don't know who I thought I was. And Mina was trying to get round, and all we heard is this music and loads of screaming. And we were like, what's that? Because obviously this is cut off away from the main floats of carnival, where everyone's following the leader and doing all the dancing. This is quite far away from the main part. So we're just like, what is that noise? And then we turn again, and in front of us is this huge stage, and it says Radio 1. And it was like, oh my God, this is where my sister says there's all the shows and you see all the superstars, and I've never found it before. So funny that I end up stumbling upon it with her. So me and my sister was like, oh my God, yeah, come, let's go. And all you hear is, woo-ha, got you all in check. Woo-ha, woo. And the crowd
it must have been no less, I don't know, at least 10,000 people. It was so many people, and it was almost like they were doing an African wave. This, everyone's hands was up and down and up and down, and you know, because of where we had come out, we'd actually come out at the backstage of the stage, right? So we haven't really seen the whole of the audience yet. I can just see this Mexican wave thing going on. So I've literally said, come on. And like, the police have seen us and they've just let us through, because I said, oh, we've come out the wrong way, sorry, we're lost. So they've effectively let us in at the front of the stage where the barriers are. And there was a small gap between the barriers and the stage. Not like it was today. You got to understand, this is what, like 93, 94, something like this. No, I'm talking rubbish. 94, 95 this was. So it wasn't as much security as it is today. It was a lot more easier to mix among celebrities than it is now. Like, you know, now they treat like terrorist attacks. Like, they are so guarded, it's impossible. So anyway, we're at the front of the barriers and I'm like, oh my God, this Busta Rhymes. And he's going up and down the stage with his stick and all tribal. This is when he has dreads now. This is the younger Busta Rhymes, six pack Busta Rhymes, that, you know, with all these tribal tattoos. And he had so much energy and literally he felt like a breath away from us, you know, because we were directly at the front of the crowd, and the crowd, when I looked behind me, just went back and back and back. And you know, I wasn't the tallest girl when I was in my young teens. I took a minute to sprout up, so I must have been no more than probably like 4'9", 5 foot at the most, you know. And like my other sister, she was a very tall girl, she was a big girl, so she was stood behind me sort of thing, so I felt okay. And then all you heard was do 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 flip mode, do 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 do, and I tell you no lie, I did a flip mode over the barrier. The whole crowd went forward like whoom, and it literally winded me, and it was almost like, because that was the biggest song of the summer of the year. It was the biggest anthem, you know, and it took not only America by storm, but the world. We'd never heard anything like it, you know, for hip hop. So you could just imagine, as soon as that beat, the whole place went bananas. It was crazy. I felt my whole little body, because I was only skinny little thing like olive oil, flip onto the barrier. And I was literally just rocking on this barrier, stuck being winded, and couldn't get my little self back down, because the barriers are pretty high, you know. It wasn't like they were waist, they were up to my head. So for me to have even got over it and be hanging on it was crazy. That shows you the impact of the crowd. And then I don't know what happened. I could just hear my sisters in the background going, sis, sis, sis. And all I felt was this huge hand grabbed the back of my jacket, and I was in the air, and I was in a fireman carry position over somebody's shoulder. And then I was sat down, and then when I looked up, I was no longer in the crowd hanging over the barrier. I was on the stage, and I was on this huge speaker. And then when I got my bearings, Busta Rhymes said to me, "You okay? You good now? You good?" And I just remember staring at him and thinking, oh my God, Busta Rhymes saved my life. Busta Rhymes pulled me out of the crowd and put me on his stage. He had stopped singing to pull me out of the crowd. I don't know why he just chose me, because I'm sure there was a good lot more people that were getting crushed. And he had to tell the audience, he said, yo, everybody relax, everybody relax. And he had such a thick accent. And he turned to the DJ and he was like, yo, drop it. And then all you heard again was do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I remember, because the speaker was so high, it wasn't a speaker you could just jump off and walk off. It was high, one of those big Soundman speakers that I remember seeing in Jamaica at like Sound Clash and Sting. It was one of those speakers, right? So I'm sitting on it and I look to my left and Busta Rhymes is singing Put Your Hands in My Eyes, can see, and the whole crowd is just going berserk. My sister's screaming my name, going, oh my God, this you're on the stage, and just screaming at me, and I'm waving at her because she looks so small now that I'm on the stage because it's very high up. And I look to my right and I can see Boyz II Men practicing their songs. And then I can see Wyclef restringing his guitar. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. Because the thing is with Notting Hill Carnival, you don't know who's going to turn up as special guests. It's all a surprise, right? And I think it was Radio 1 with Tim Westwood, who was the DJ that probably had brought them all over. In his younger days, and I remember watching Busta Rhymes go up and down and sing his song, and he finished. And when he finished, he didn't say, you know, get down, I need to take off the stage. He left me there. So when he left me there, he introduced the next artist, and out ran. All you heard was, whoa, na, 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 na. It's Beanie Man. Beanie Man's run out on the stage, and the whole place again, it's just going whoom, and you could just see the sea of people just rocking back and forth to the dance all buzz. And Beanie Man just giving a little head nod and a wink, and I'm on the speaker and I'm doing my little bogle because I'm too scared to stand up. The speaker's too high. So I'm bogling on the thing and enjoying myself. And you know, it's really strange because back then I was a professional dancer, and I remember I'd meant to have been on tour with Beanie Man, and when he came to London, he was gonna be at the Stratford Rex, and we'd been practicing for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And when our limousine pulled up, someone had got shot, so we were told to turn around, and all the blue lights of the police were there in Stratford, and I never ever get to meet him, and I never got to perform. And so to see him run out on the stage like that was absolutely mesmerizing. And you have to understand, these are some of the biggest songs still to date in 2018. Like, they were game changers, you know. So he's doing his thing and everybody's trying to do whatever they're doing in the crowd. Every minute I'm checking on my sister to make sure she's not been crushed and she's still there, but she's right at the front. And she's actually got a police officer beside her because I think he was more than aware that we were together. And in my head, all I kept thinking is, I wonder if my big sister can see me and my cousin. I wonder if they're seeing this, that I'm the only one on the stage apart from the artist. And then Beanie Man finish. I don't know where Busta Rhymes was, and then out comes Boyz II Men and Wyclef, and he was singing 911, and I was like, this is crazy. I probably will never ever in my life see all these superstars in one place, one building like this ever again. And I watched the whole show, and then when it came to an end, I saw the police officers took me off the speaker and took me backstage, and I was worried because I was thinking, oh my God, I can't see my half-sister. I came with her. If I don't go back with her, my dad's going to beat me. He's going to think that I've ditched her and gone off. But then when I got down the back stairs of the stage, I saw my sister with the police officers, and she gave me the hugest hug ever. And Busta Rhymes was there, and he was just like, you okay, mommy? And I was just like, yeah. And he's like, do you need a lift anywhere? And we were just so mesmerized that he was talking to us. It was almost like he was a big brother role. And I was like, no, we're fine, we're good. And he went, got in the police car, and it was on blue lights like an emergency, and he was gone. And me and my sister were left standing there in the mud, in the wet mud, and just looking at each other like, oh my God, did that just happen? And we went home. If God had a plan for us to get on, that plan worked, because that brought us to true, true sisterhood.